Welcome to the 175th edition of Comment with me, George Galloway, bringing you the big conversation, bringing you the great debate. But it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 442086014555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and if you get on the television, make sure the volume on your TV set is down at zero, or no one will understand either of us. You can SMS the show on 4478008066, or you can email us at comment@presstv.co.uk. Well, wounded in a massive NATO airstrike, Colonel Gaddafi was captured alive and kicking, and walked down the road being jostled before being cold-bloodedly executed with a bullet to the head. As it would appear, were both of his sons, Mutasim and Saif al-Islam. And it's, I suppose, a fitting end to a brutal dictatorship. A brute death for a brute. But what does it tell us about the new Libya? That the body of the former leader was then stripped naked and dragged through the streets of his birthplace, Sirte, for the edification, presumably, of the cameras, and they are being shown that film on some Arab television stations this evening. I don't think we'll be showing it on Press TV, and I'm certain that they won't be showing it on BBC. They could hardly, because, of course, all of this has only been possible because of the British, American, French, and Italian governments' air power, which has helped the Libyan revolutionaries to triumph. And that's not really the way we treat corpses, at least not the way we like to be seen treating corpses. So, what happened? Who killed Gaddafi and why? Who gave the order for the execution of Gaddafi and his sons when we were told it was going to be the trial of the century? Could it be those people who didn't really want to see him on trial, and who might they have been? That's, I suppose, the main subject that we will be discussing this evening, but there are many others. A momentous day for the families of 1,000 Palestinian political prisoners being held in Israeli dungeons. When the first half of them were released, the second half to be released in 2 months, in exchange for the captured Israeli prisoner, Gilad Shalit. You'd be, of course, forgiven for not knowing anything about the Palestinian prisoners and knowing everything about Gilad Shalit. We now know about his father, his mother, his siblings, his cousins, even on the BBC, his second cousin. But of course, one Israeli life is worth, well, maybe 1,000 Palestinian lives. And then there's Foxy Liam Fox, the British Defence Secretary, who fell on his sword, or rather was pushed onto his sword, just a day or two ago in the midst of a sleazy scandal involving a young man and three Israeli lobbyists who've been lobbing in very large sums of money into Liam Fox's office and into the pockets of his friend. Now, what were they getting for their money? I think we should be told. Is there any connection to the money being lobbed by the Israeli lobby with the change in the law in Britain to allow Zippy Livni to frolic unmolested by the law in Harrods just a couple of weeks ago, when it was decided to back the United States and threaten to veto Palestinian membership of the United Nations? Was that influenced by these Israeli lobbyists? If there was no influence being gained, why were they spending the money? You wouldn't have thought such hard-headed businessmen, multi-billionaires, would be giving away money to Fox and Werete for nothing, would you? You could tell me if you do. And of course, we'll be discussing Ofcom and Press TV. These are, of course, my views. They are not the views of Press TV. They're definitely not the views of the government of any country. And remember, Hajj is approaching. I was in Schiphol Airport earlier today, in Amsterdam, coming back from a conference on Islamophobia held in that country of Geert Wilders. And there in the airport were a significant number of people headed off on the pilgrimage. So if you're going on the Hajj, just give us your video. The details are at the bottom of the screen and will be shown throughout the show. Mahmoud is all the way in Oman. He wants to talk about Gaddafi. So do I. Mahmoud, welcome to the show, my friend.
Good evening, George. Good to be with you after a long time.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
It's a very well and a smashing start you have done, George.
Thank you.
Gaddafi was a what do you call it? A brutal dictator. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Good, job done. But sadly, it was very, very sadly, prosecuted or whatever. Number two, I would like to say about Ofcom and Press TV, George.
Yes.
It's really sad the way they're trying to implicate Press TV. And they should actually implicate BBC. And instead of calling BBC British Broadcasting Corporation, they should call them the broadcaster of crooks and criminals, to be quite honest. Or beggars.
Well, I dubbed them the Bush and Blair Corporation, Mahmoud. I suppose that's slightly out of date now. No, I agree with you, Mahmoud, about the Gaddafi affair. If you live by the sword, you can hardly complain if you die by the sword. But what about all these liberals in these European and North American capitals who are always prattling on about the rule of law and discipline and so on? It wasn't a very disciplined death to which Gaddafi went today. He was captured alive, and then he was cold-bloodedly murdered. And then he was stripped naked and dragged through the streets by a mob. Not quite the sort of thing that the British and French and American politicians generally like to look at over their breakfast in the morning. What do you say, Mahmoud? Thanks for that. Let's stay in Britain, go to Cornwall, talk to Angus about the fox scandal. I was fox hunting, Angus, and I was glad that the quarry was captured. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's amazing, George. You know, the cat's right out the bag, isn't it, I suppose? But I suppose we mean the fox is out the bag.
Yes.
And it's so true, isn't it? It looks like the neocons are well deadly, you know, in-depth in our society.
Yes, and secretly. I mean, that's the really sinister thing, Angus, that this was all going on in secret. And if Fox hadn't resigned when he did, we wouldn't have known it. If he'd resigned, for example, a week before, we wouldn't know any of this. And, of course, if he'd not been made to resign at all, we might not know any of it. How many other ministers are being funded by the Israel lobby? How much money is going from the Israel lobby into British politics? And if they're not getting influence for their money, why are they giving it, Angus?
They just want to drive the agenda, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer, really, isn't it? I mean, either Fox was profiting from this, and the inquiry found that he was not. So if it was not about personal enrichment, it must have been about politics and influence. And it's very clear, isn't it, that Fox was trying to set up an alternative foreign policy to the one the British government had. I mean, you and I probably thought the British had about as pro-Israeli a government as it was possible to get. But they were working on making it more pro-Israeli still.
I absolutely agree with George. What I reckon is we've got the Tories putting on this front of, you know, soft conservatism, but really the truth is they're hardline neocons supporting the American and the Israeli agenda.
Well, I think that's an excellent call from Angus in Cornwall in England. Let's talk to Ali Al-Kassi in the United Kingdom, I don't know where, about Gaddafi. Ali, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, thank you, Mr. Galloway. Let me just start by thanking you, and I think you are the sound of respect and sound of truth.
Thank you, sir.
Actually, talking about the martyr Gaddafi today, when we seen the news revealing his death, I myself, maybe I was in the opposition before, you know, because I lived in this country for 11 years, And I thought I was enjoying the democracy here in this country. But the fact what happened in Libya is totally from what's been seen on the news. I came from Libya about two weeks ago, and I lived in Sirte. What I have seen, what I have witnessed, is not a revolution. It's a genocide. It's revenge. It's killing people on their identity. And today, by killing Gaddafi, I would ask those who contributed in his death, have they sorted Iraq? Have they sorted Somalia? Have they sorted Afghanistan? Have they succeeded before so they can start with Libya? This is not their intention. Their intention is not democracy for us.
Well, I think that's a powerful call, Ali, and I agree with it, I must say. Sirte has been reduced to ash.
Yes.
The Red Cross said earlier this week that there were 10,000 civilians living in Sirte under constant and totally indiscriminate bombardment. Hamas or Jihad or other organizations fire rockets up into the air with no targeting mechanism on them from Gaza, we're told that this is a war crime, even though these rockets virtually never kill anybody and hardly ever do any damage at all. Here, we're totally indiscriminate. Air and land missiles are being fired into a city in which 10,000 civilians, men, women, and children, were living. And the correspondents who were covering it didn't once raise the question about the legality or the morality of such indiscriminate bombardment of a city. Again, I make the point, it's important to think of these things this way. If Hezbollah had reduced an Israeli city to ash when 10,000 civilians were living in it, we'd never have heard the end of it. If Hamas had stripped Shalit naked, having killed him in cold blood and dragged his body through the streets, we would never, ever have heard the end of it. But it happened today to Gaddafi under Western air power. Indeed, Gaddafi was wounded in a NATO strike. And it happened to Sirte over these last few weeks. Double standards or what, Ali? Let's go. Thanks, Ali, for your call. Let's go to Adam on the subject of Ofcom. Adam, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I just wanted, first of all, to praise Press TV because it's one of the few channels in this country that kind of takes a pursuit for justice and anti-imperialism as its point of departure when it goes into news analysis.
Yep, thanks for that.
News telling. Secondly, there are many of us out here who would like to campaign for Press TV to stay on the air, and I'd just like to mention we have a Facebook page called Hands Off Press TV, and if people could get involved in that, that would be great, because then we'd be able to keep the media waves nice and
well. I'll get involved in that, Adam. You should link it or put the link on my own Facebook page, which has I think 65,000 people, and I've got another 40,000 on Twitter, so we can help each other on that.
Sure.
Make sure the link's up there. What sort of response are you getting so far? Do people understand what Ofcom are up to?
Yeah, I think most of us understand that Ofcom is just basically doing the willing of the British government. The British government doesn't want this annoying little voice that is Press TV to be, you know, exposing all their beautiful lies live on television.
Yeah. So all we do is we go to Facebook and we look up Hands Off Press TV. Is that right?
That's right.
Well, I'll definitely be doing that, Adam, and I hope that we can work together on that, because it's my view that it will not be easy for Ofcom doing the government's bidding to close down a television station. Not when we're bombing for freedom of speech in Libya and in Afghanistan. Not when we invaded Iraq so that we could have liberty and freedom of speech in Iraq. It would be passing strange if we were criticizing and attacking governments like Iran on issues of liberty and freedom of speech, whilst closing down liberty and freedom of speech in our own country. So I'm not sure, number one, the Ofcom will be able to do this. I'm not sure that the British courts will allow them untrammeled so to do. And I'm not sure that the European Court of Justice will accept it either. So there's a long struggle ahead. Ofcom should know that. And I, for one, as long as God gives me breath, will be in it. Adam, thanks very much for the call, my friend. I really appreciate that. Let's go up to Scotland, talk to Arnold on the issue of the Palestinian prisoners. Arnold, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, George. Mine is just two or three comments. It's about this moron from Israel who commented the other day on Al Jazeera that whilst those Palestinians, over 1,000 of them, are going back home to their families, what about those Israelis who were killed by those terrorists? They won't be able to go back to their homes because they are in their graves. My question now is, does he ever think about those thousands and thousands of Palestinians that were killed by the Israelis?
He probably doesn't because, as I half-jokingly said earlier, it's quite obvious that the blood of a Palestinian is less valuable than the blood of an Israeli. In fact, the blood of any Arab is worth less than any Israeli or any European or North American for that matter. In fact, the blood of any Muslim is less valuable than the blood of the others. These are the brute realities of power and sympathy and allegiance to that power in the world today. But not for us, not for you, not for me, not for the 1.7 billion Muslims in the world, not for genuine Christians in the world, not for progressive people in the world. We don't accept that the blood of somebody can be more valuable than the blood of someone else merely by virtue of their ethnicity or their religion. We just don't accept it. So the answer to your question is, he probably didn't give a second thought any more than they count the dead in Afghanistan, for example. Who knows how many people have been killed in Afghanistan? How many people have been killed by US drone strikes in Afghanistan? I do know that in Somalia, just this day, the United States killed 26 Somalians in a drone strike. And they think that that is going to dampen down terrorism. But of course, the policies of the Western governments and the military attacks by the Western armed forces are merely growing a new generation of people who will fight them. Arnold, thanks for that call. Let's talk to Carl Clark in the United Kingdom about Gaddafi. Carl, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi there, George.
Hi.
Thank you very much for allowing me on your show.
Welcome.
And I'll just, I can't believe all the Western hypocrisy over Gaddafi. You know, we see one thing. Sorry, there's someone on Zoom.
That's all right, don't worry.
We just see one thing, and that's not about Gaddafi. This is about the Western global domination.
Well, Carl, you may have seen and reached for your sick bag, as I did myself, Cameron in Downing Street today, saying that this was a day to remember Gaddafi's victims. But just 8 months ago, Cameron's government were writing Dear Muammar letters to Gaddafi. Dear Muammar, do you want to buy anything from us? Can we sell you this latest line in crowd control materiel? Can we send you some more weapons? Would you like to buy some more of our weapons, dear Muammar? Would you like to send your intelligence men to train with MI5 and MI6, dear Muammar? Would you like to send your army officers to train at Sandhurst, dear Muammar? Would you like to send your police to train at the British Police College, dear Muammar. Would you like to attend the latest British Arms Fair, dear Muammar, so that you might put some more money in our pockets? Dear Muammar, would you like to give some more money to the London School of Economics so that we as the British government don't have to do it? Dear Muammar, would you like to buy from us rather than buy from that nasty little Mr. Sarkozy, and so on? It's such hypocrisy. Where was the thoughts of Yvonne Fletcher? Where was the thoughts of the Pan-American airliner over Lockerbie? Where was the thoughts about Semtex and the IRA when Blair was kissing Gaddafi in the tent and British businessmen were queuing up behind the kiss with their contracts for dear Muammar to sign? You really couldn't make that level of hypocrisy up, Carl.
No, and you said it all for me. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. I'm sorry if I stole your thunder. Very kind of you to say. Let's talk to Bob in the UK about Palestine. Bob, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello there.
Hi.
How are you doing, George?
Very good, thanks.
I was going to talk about the Palestinian prisoners. Some other things have come up in the meantime, but the Palestinian prisoners have, as a result of the Intifada, I think Palestinians have every right to defend their own country against the Israelis, and so they're an occupying force. Therefore, they should do whatever they need to do. And all the people are saying that these people killed our people. Well, what about all the Palestinians that have been killed by the Israelis?
Well,
the
Bob, God forbid, we were occupied by a foreign army, which had its tanks on our streets. If we were besieged by a foreign army, not allowed to eat or drink or move freely, if Britain was locked up like a kind of giant prison camp, as David Cameron described Gaza, if a soldier passed our way and we were able to get our hands on him, I think we probably would, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. I mean, I've said that before. I mean, we'd fight to the last man. But it's just damn shame there aren't more Israeli soldiers prisoners. But the trouble is, they're so strong. They're too strong for the Palestinian army or their fifth column. Well, not fifth column, that's the wrong word.
Well, there's still a lot of Palestinian prisoners who are not going to be released, including some of the main leaders of the Palestinian resistance, particularly Marwan Barghouti and Ahmad Sadat, but many, many others. And we must do everything that we can and anything that we can to get these prisoners released. Thanks, Bob. Let's talk to Zakaria in London about the dictatorships. Zakaria, welcome to the show,
George.
My friend.
Hello, hi, good evening, Mr. George. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Thanks, go ahead.
The point I'm trying to make today is that, you know, you see in the TV, across different TV channels, the Libyans celebrating, shooting in the air, they're overwhelmed with joy. And, sometimes you don't know what you have till it's gone, you know. This Libya now, it's going to be handed over on a plate to the corporates and to the Western companies and their greed and their powers.
Well, let me tell you, Zakaria, I don't agree with that at all. I certainly think the former Gaddafi stooges who were in his government and who are now the stooges of America and France and Britain will try to do that. But I don't think that the fighters that you have been looking at on the streets are going to go into that good night quietly. I don't think the fighters in Misrata, for example, or the people who were in Guantanamo Bay under the Americans are going to hand their country over to the corporates of the countries that hunted them down and handed them back to Gaddafi in order to be tortured. You couldn't make that up, could you? Well, I'll be back with the second half of comment after the news, and you definitely don't want to miss it. It's Gaddafi, it's Palestine, and many, many other things. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, the 175th edition. And, God willing, there'll be many hundreds more, whether Ofcom likes it or not. Tell us what you think of Ofcom's attempt to wipe us off the television map, or at least wipe us off out of radio times or TV times. We're talking about the prisoner exchange in the week. One Israeli soldier for 1,000 Palestinian prisoners. But the one Israeli soldier was evidently much more important than the 1,000 prisoners, because at least in Britain, you didn't read anything about the 1,000 and you read probably as much as you wanted to about the one. And we're talking about the cold-blooded execution of Colonel Gaddafi, killed after being captured, stripped naked and dragged through the streets as a corpse. Hardly Islamic treatment, Fatima, in London, was it? Let's talk about it.
Yes.
Fatima, go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening.
You know, these people should know, and good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Yes, go on.
Yeah, these people should know, and every Muslim should know, that this is a very intimidating and a humiliating thing. And Gaddafi is not good, but Libyans are always comfortable. Very clean country to live, and the NATO, the world see Arabs, they are very, most of the Arabs, especially we, the Sunnis or whatever. That's why I always love Press TV, because Al Jazeera is a disgrace. That's why I never watch them. You know, Libya is a very clean country. They are not going about begging or suffering. Gaddafi was not good, but today, the Libyans, they will see the real world. Like what happened to Gaddafi today, they will see the real world.
Well, you know, all the talk about the rule of law and human rights and civil rights and the need for a trial and so on, well, they all went down the drain with the execution and the blood of Gaddafi and his two sons, one of whom was shaking hands with Hillary Clinton not so long ago, and the other of whom, Saif al-Islam, was dancing on a yacht in Corfu with George Osborne and Peter Mandelson. I mean, I don't mean dancing directly with them, but he was on the dance floor with them. Isn't it funny how things change when the music stops? Fatima, thanks for that. Let's go all the way to the USA and talk to Joseph about Gaddafi. Joseph, where in the US are you?
Hi,
whereabouts are you?
I'm in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Okay, how are you doing, Mr. George?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Go ahead, sir.
All right, I was expecting that very well. I am very disappointed of your presentation about the situation going on in Libya. Today, Muammar Gaddafi is dead. And the campaign which you led with your TV against that country are putting through millions of Libyans to become slaves. They are welcome in the life of slave people in the world. You have been a fighter of the country which is fighting with Israel. I thought you should be a fighter of liberty, of people in the world. I think Libyan people have been people who have been living in peace and rebuilding their country years and years. And my question is this. After they killed Muammar Gaddafi, I give you 20 years. We're going to see your support to those people who have been killing the people of Africa. They've killed Lumumba. And since they killed Lumumba in the Republic Democratic of Congo, the Congo people are slaves.
Yeah, well, listen, don't you dare associate me with the people who killed Patrice Lumumba, the greatest of all the African leaders. And don't you dare compare Patrice Lumumba with Muammar al-Gaddafi. Gaddafi was a cheap two-bit criminal, and so were his families. They looted the people of Libya. You say that they were building their country. Well, there wasn't much evidence of that any time I passed through it. The Gaddafi gang, especially Saif al-Islam, who's now dead, and I don't like to speak ill of the recently dead, was going around with a suitcase full of cash and giving it to the kind of people that were his dancing partners in Corfu. He was ready to go to the London School of Economics and give them money in order to curry favor. This man is a part of a family which gave the Tony Blair Foundation, the man who killed a million Iraqis, £1 million a year salary as an advisor to Libya's sovereign wealth fund. So don't compare Gaddafi to Patrice Lumumba, and don't compare me to the murderers of Patrice Lumumba. And I don't believe that the Libyans will become slaves, because I have a higher opinion of the Libyans than you do. I believe that the Libyans, including those who killed Gaddafi today, will not agree to becoming slaves. Even though the NTC in Benghazi is, in my opinion, a stooge puppet regime, they will soon be overthrown. Their power will not last. Their authority depends entirely on NATO and the imperialist countries. I believe the people, the good Arab Muslim people of Libya, will reject tutelage and slavery. Sukant in London wants to talk about Ofcom. Sukant, welcome to the show, my friend.
Good evening, George. How are you this evening? You okay?
Yes, not so bad, sir.
I'm just calling in just to discuss the Ofcom potential procedure against Press TV. I know a few friends of mine have set up a Facebook campaign page called Hands Off Press TV, which anyone can find if you just go into your search bar on Facebook and put in Hands Off Press TV. I just wanted to kind of raise to your audience and to your listeners that this is, I mean, you know, I've been on Press TV many times, and there's some differences we can have between friends, but nevertheless, Press TV is one of the very, very few channels that we can get on Sky, which is an alternate voice and an oppositional voice to Western and particularly U.S. hegemony and Zionist interests across the Middle East region in particular. So I really wanted just to encourage your listeners, that is, just to support these moves in defense of what I call the democratizing media, which is Press TV. It's a part of a process of a multipolarity on the media level in the world. So I just wanted to draw your listeners' attention to this, basically, George.
Good call. Thanks for that, Sukant. And that's Hands Off Press TV on Facebook. I'll be going to it this evening, and I'll be putting up a link on my own Facebook page on that. We're talking about Ofcom. We're talking about the Palestinian prisoners and the exchange that took place in the week. We're talking about the execution of Muammar Gaddafi. We're talking about Foxy Liam Fox, the British Defense Secretary. Hayam in Spain wants to talk about just that. Yes, Hayam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. I hope your Keep Fit classes are doing well.
Well, I'm training on my own at the moment and picking my way through all the people who applied to be my personal trainer.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I'm too far for that. George, I would like to say about comment on the Israeli lobbyists in that may have been paying a lot of money for
three prominent supporters of Israel have been caught red-handed lobbying fantastic sums of money into the British political process in secret.
But this is not Israeli money, George. It is the money they have stolen from our banks and from our taxpayers that they are paying back from them, because I really believe that the money that we are losing and disappearing in the banks are going into Israel.
Why do you think that?
Well, all the bankers, all the big banks are directed by Israel, by Israelis, by Zionists.
Actually, you could not be more wrong, Hayam. I'm sorry to say this to you. You could not be more wrong. All of the big banks are public limited companies that are owned by thousands, even hundreds of thousands, of shareholders. None of the big banks are owned by Jews. None of the big banks are owned by Israelis. And what you've done is fallen into the trap of anti-Semitism, which our enemies want you to fall into so that you'll come on the TV and make that kind of an intervention. I'm very, very sorry that you did. Let's go to Ireland and talk to David about Ofcom and Palestine. David, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks very much, George. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you well. Go ahead, sir.
I can just barely hear you on this phone. But anyway, a couple of things come to mind. The first thing is something you said on your show a few weeks ago that might be a cause for optimism when you felt that, you know, the climate of opinion might be, or the tide might be turning amongst the populace in America, you know.
About Israel, you mean?
About Israel,
yes.
Palestine and so
yes,
forth.
Yes.
And with that in mind, do you think that with the inordinate ratio of prisoners exchange in Israel-Palestine that we've seen happen today, do you think that might be a cause for optimism, you know, in the forthcoming weeks and months for, you know, the ongoing so-called peace process?
I really don't, David. I don't think there's anything good going to happen in the next few weeks and months. I don't think Netanyahu has the slightest, remotest intention of allowing the emergence of a Palestinian state worthy of the name. I don't think the Palestinian leadership will be able to sign or accept any kind of state which is not worthy of the name. What I hope for is the reunification of the leadership and the membership of the Palestinian National Movement and the resistance. I hope for more revolution in the Arab world, which will change the political and diplomatic balance of power in the area very considerably. And above all, I hope for a real revolutionary outcome of the events in Egypt over the last 9 or 10 months. If Egypt becomes a real Arab country again, if Egypt becomes an Arab Muslim power again, if Egypt becomes again the center of the Arab world, then everything for Palestine will change. So I think time is on the side of the Palestinians, and that's probably just as well. Let's go to India, talk to Muhammad Ali about Gaddafi. Muhammad, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, George.
Go Good ahead, evening.
Sir. First of all, Mr. George, I would like to praise Press TV and the good work that you've been doing.
Thank you.
And I hope it picks up in India. It becomes common because over here there's like nobody much into this or watching this channel. And I'm very glad to hear about the death of Gaddafi. And it's an eye-opener to the world and to the dictators around. And I pray that the Libyans run their own country themselves in a very democratic way. And it's a very good thing that you are doing this. And I would like to see all these Middle East countries doing the running their country like how Iran. Iran is a goal for me, a symbol of democratic way and norms. And I hope it runs the way the Iranian government runs.
Okay, thank Muhammad, you. Thanks very much for that call. India is a very important part of the international public opinion, of course, and I, for one, am very keen to influence it in the best way. The United States and Israel have made great efforts in India to try and win the people of India to the wrong path. I hope that they will not succeed, and anything I can do to stop them succeeding, I'm ready to do. Let's go to Saudi Arabia, talk to Mariam about Palestine. Mariam in Arabia, welcome to the show.
Okay, thank you. Hi. Hello.
Yes, go on. You're on the air.
Yeah, George, I want to talk on the prisoners exchange.
Yeah.
Okay, do you really think that the president of Israel, Netanyahu, is going to give the 500 prisoners that he promised to give? He promised to give to exchange 1,000 something, but he freed only 400 and something, right? Is he really serious on exchange it?
I think so. I think so.
I don't think he's really going to release them?
No, I think that they've signed a solemn and binding agreement with Egypt, which is the interlocutor, to do that. We'll see, of course, but I think I'm right and you're wrong. I think these prisoners will be released in 2 months. Otherwise, this makes a real crisis for Egypt, you see. Makes a real crisis in the relations between Egypt and Israel. And I don't think Israel, having lost its relationship with Turkey and in danger of losing its relationship with Egypt, would be prepared to bring that down upon itself for the sake of 400 or 500 prisoners. That's my honest view, Mariam.
Okay, thank you, John.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Italy, talk to Ali about Palestine. Ali, welcome to the show.
Welcome, George. Thank you for receiving my call. There is now I was in, while watching your program, saw an ad on Facebook published by different sites of West Bank settlers who declare an amount of $100,000 to kill two Palestinians anywhere they could be found. I would like to ask the international community, isn't this an act of terror? If we or any Muslim do even spoke about this,
you'd be in jail. You'd be in prison tonight.
Yes, and I ask the Ministry of Justice in Great Britain to clarify their position about such calls.
Okay, well, we'll definitely look at that. Ali, thanks very much for that call. Spread the word in Italy. Let's go to the comment wall and take a couple of emails. We want your point of view. We want your country up here. Let's see what we've got. First up is Ricky in London. George, what actually gives Britain the right to launch a war and hire people in Libya to kill its leader? I'm not saying morally, I mean legally, do you know? And if they don't need a legal right, then why are we not marching against a bully nation? Well, what they would claim, Ricky, is that the United Nations Security Council resolution gave them the mandate to become involved in the war in Libya. Most jurists would believe that that stretches the terms of the Security Council resolution way past breaking point, but that's what their defense would be, and government lawyers would back them up. Let's take another one. One more email, because we don't have much time left. Kerry in London says, George, I went to it, the Facebook page, just for your viewers. It's called Hands Off Press TV. Pretty good. Will you sign up? What's your page? Do you know of any other way we can complain to Ofcom about this? Well, I'll be joining. My page is George Galloway MP. I'm sorry about the MP bit. I'm not guilty of that. But Facebook won't allow you to change the title of a page. And given there's 65,000 people on the page, you can imagine I don't want to lose it. Let's talk to Suhail in London about Gaddafi. Suhail, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yes, Mr. Galloway, thank you for coming in. First of all, I want to thank Press TV. I think it's the only channel where somebody can view his opinion, whether pro or against. That's the only channel in the UK can do that. So I thank them for that. The other thing I baffle, George, if you can answer me this question, is a couple of months ago, Gaddafi is a friend of all the Western leaders, Tony Blair, the Italian Prime Minister, French President, and just of a sudden, they turn enemies. Can you tell me the reason why they do that? That's one.
Yeah.
And the second thing again, some of those NTC leaders call themselves as leaders or whatever. But let the Libyans don't forget that some of those leaders call themselves as leaders. They are once Gaddafi ministers.
Yeah, for decades.
Yes.
For decades they were Gaddafi ministers.
Gaddafi, saying, they say, well, we are clean, we want to rule you. So I just hope all the rebels that fought and liberated Libya today, they will have the chance to rule that country instead of those puppets, NTC leaders, they call themselves.
Well, I feel sure, Suhail, that the kind of fighters that we have seen and the kind of reports that I get from places like Misrata, these are not foolish people. They're experienced fighters now. They're with the revolution, but they're not ready to be slaves of America or Britain or France. Let's talk to Sami in London about Ofcom. Sami, welcome to the show, my friend.
Good evening, George.
Good evening. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering, making 2 points or something. One is about Gaza. You say that the Palestinian has been freed and the one against 1,000. I think that the Jewish, I think the Israeli soldier has been freed, but Gaza is the biggest open prison in the world. I don't call like Palestinian has been freed, and this is the biggest point, because if you see that way, the one person against 1,000, I think 1,000, they're still in prison, in open prison. Gaza is all open prison for us.
Yeah, but they looked pretty happy as they celebrated with their families. So at the very least, they may be in a bigger prison, but at least they're at home now with their families by the grace of God. Now, Sammy, did you have a point on Ofcom?
Yes, another point on Ofcom. I think what happened with the Ofcom, I think they got, I think, the call from the biggest, the two countries in the Middle East. I think Press TV is taking the biggest plant and taking a lot of...
I'm sorry, Sammy, we're losing the sound quality on this call. But on the same subject, Abdul is on the phone from London about Ofcom. Abdul, welcome to the show, my friend.
Welcome. Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Yes, go ahead quickly, sir. You're the last call.
Yeah, Mr. Galloway, my comment about Ofcom. Ofcom, they have to realize that now people all over the world knowing different between the media houses, between Press TV and BBC and other Sky and other things. Because now if you monitor about Press TV view, always new people calling and share their ideas. Before, they don't know what is going on all over the world, but now people knowing much better than before. So Ofcom, they have to keep and then leave Press TV alone. And my second comment, my second is about Gaddafi. I throw my sympathy to all Muslim all over the world. But Mr. Galloway, by next month or two, you will see what going to happen in Libya. We Muslims, they will come to the mosque asking money for support to Libya. Same thing happened in Iraq when they killed Saddam Hussein.
I'll tell you what, Abdul, time will tell. I believe that the revolution in Libya will continue, and it will continue until it has toppled the stooges that were formerly Gaddafi stooges and are now Sarkozy and Cameron and Obama and Clinton's stooges. They will topple them, and they'll make a real revolution in Libya. That's what I believe. We'll see. Time will tell. God willing, I'll be back here again at the same time next week with Comment, the great debate. I hope that you'll join in and bring somebody else with you. You can also catch me on The Real Deal on Press TV on Sunday. I hope you do. Until we meet again, God willing, may you go in peace.
Hello, just comment the name and the question you left that number. And just make sure the phone, your television volume is set up to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You redirect me, put through this, your phone number, and then we'll call you back. Comment?
Can I have your telephone number?
I thought it was a comment.